And the people ask, what does this mean? Please be seated. What does this mean? I'm not sure that our gospel today helps us understand what this means. I think Jesus' sentences sometimes get really confusing. I don't know about you or not, but he even says something kind of funny in today's gospel about none of you have even asked me where I'm going, when at least three times prior to that, they'd asked him, where are you going? So I'm not sure what that's about. So I'm not sure if the gospel is helpful to us understanding this whole Pentecost event, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and etc. But I'm going to bring in a couple other scripture passages that might help us a little bit today. First of all, I want to tell you why I'm preaching this way today. I had a sermon kind of prepared. This was moving week for the Knight family, so we've been doing that all week. But I did have a sermon ready, and then yesterday morning, Jennifer and I traveled to the coast of Mississippi for Juby's third birthday party. So we had about a 6.5-hour round trip yesterday morning to go there and come back. We had to leave quite early, so guess what we're doing in the car? We're watching the royal wedding on Jennifer's iPhone. How many of you got to see the wedding, or at least maybe a replay? What did you think of Bishop Curry's sermon? Pretty amazing, right? And so as I was watching that, I thought, that's a way better sermon, so I was just going to bring in a screen and show that for you today. But I know that wouldn't work well here. But what he was trying to convey to them, and he said this later in an interview, by the way, and it's very true. I've done a lot of weddings, and one thing I learned really early in my time as a priest, that nobody comes to the wedding to hear you preach. That's not why they're there. So make it really short and make it about the couple. That's who you're saying a few words to, and that's what he was trying to do. But boy, he made it about the world. And his entire sermon was about love. And not love in a sentimental, sappy way, although that's important, not just love between this couple who are obviously deeply in love with each other. You could tell by how they looked at one another during that service, but love in its most powerful sense. Love that changes the world. Love that comes from God. Love that is really power and fire and wind. And so when we think of the coming of the Holy Spirit, I want you to think about the coming of love in that way. In the letter of 1 John, we get these words. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. So I want you to look at your second lesson, the one that we kind of joined in reading together from 1 Corinthians. It's a translation from the Message, and actually this version of it was, I think, developed by our bishop. He gave us permission to use it today because it wasn't the normal second lesson for Pentecost. But if you look at the very beginning of it, where you see the words in God's Spirit, I want you to say in love. So replace God or God's Spirit with love. So let's read the first few together. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all begin in love. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all begin in love. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but love is behind it all. Love is behind it all. That was really the message that Bishop Curry was bringing in a much better way than I can, but it is truth. So when we say that God is love, we're saying something about the Holy Spirit also, right? Because we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost, or when we pray for the giving of the Holy Spirit for someone at their baptism, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about God coming and being within that person. We say at baptism that the person is sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. That means that love that is power, that love that is grace, that love that is world-changing, is within every single one of us. You ever think about it that way? That it's God as love that is within us in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to that birthday of the church. We have a birthday cake out in the atrium for you today because Pentecost is considered the church's birthday. And I wonder, what were they expecting on that Pentecost day? Jesus had left them about 10 days, well, not about, 10 days before. He had ascended up to heaven and he had told them, I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. Go to Jerusalem and hang out. But most of all, pray and wait. Now, that pray stuff we do fairly well. The wait stuff we're terrible at, right? And they probably were the same way, but that's what they did. And we think about 120 people were gathered together day after day in that room when the Holy Spirit comes. But what did they think that meant? One of the words in the Greek that's used for the Holy Spirit that's translated advocate in your gospel today is paraclete. And a better translation for that, I think, is literally the come besider person. The one that comes along beside you. That's who Jesus promised Jesus would send. He said, I can't send the Holy Spirit until I'm gone. And then he ascends up into heaven and the Holy Spirit comes to come along beside these people. But the Holy Spirit didn't just kind of politely knock on the door, say, hey, can I come in and hang out for a while with y'all? No, it was power, wasn't it? And fire. And the very breath of God moving in that room and dancing flames on their heads. And all of a sudden they have this capability to speak in a language they did not even know. So that all those people gathered there understood the message, the good news, in their own tongue. And by the way, Paige, one of the best readings of all those different names of people I've ever heard. You knocked that out of the park. Great job. Love is the greatest power in all the world. And it's the greatest power in all the world because that's what God is. God is love. And if we think about God that way, and if we think about one another that way, that we're all filled with that Holy Spirit, all filled with that love, that perhaps may change how we look at people. That God's love is within every one of these people, even the ones we don't like very much, are filled with that spirit, that power, that kind of love. I'm going to read to you the proper preface for Pentecost. Now, the proper preface during the Eucharistic prayer is that part that I say that's not right in front of you in the prayer book that you're all wondering, why is he saying those words? Right? You all have those moments, and we come back and say the same thing together. And so once a year, we get to use this proper preface for Pentecost. And it is amazing. So I wanted you to hear it, so when you hear it at the Eucharistic prayer, perhaps it would mean even more to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in fulfillment of his true promise, the Holy Spirit came down on this day from heaven, lighting upon the disciples to teach them and to lead them into all truth, uniting people of many tongues in a confession of one faith, and giving to your church the power to serve you as a royal priesthood, and to preach the gospel to all nations. I want to thank the couple over there in England for having their wedding on Pentecost weekend, because royal priesthood makes even more sense after that today. But basically what this preface is saying, the same thing that Peter writes in one of his epistles, is that you are the royal priesthood because of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. It is the Spirit comes to unite us. But the church struggles with that. We struggle with unity. We struggle with working together sometimes for a common goal. And that common goal is simply to preach the good news to all nations. It's about unity. It's also about gifts. That second lesson talks about gifts, that each person is giving something to do that shows who God is. And I love this response that Peterson writes. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. If there's one truth that I know to the very bottom of my soul, is that every one of you has been given a gift from God, a spiritual gift to use to the benefit of others and to preach the gospel throughout the world. And thanks be to God, God's plan was for those gifts to be a variety of things. That's why we use that language like body parts. We need the eye, we need the hand, we need the foot. We need all these things working together as one to be the body of Christ. So each one of you has gifts. And in each case, those gifts are fairly unique. And the greatest joy I believe you can ever find in the world is when you figure out what that gift is and start using it in some way to serve others. And we have lots of ways to do that here, but not every way is for everyone. So I want you to hear this from me. We're talking about unity, uniting peoples throughout the world through this power of love that is beyond our comprehension. But it does not mean that we always agree with the best way to do that. So I want you to remember that when we don't agree with the best ways to use our gifts, it's because we all have different gifts that we think are the ones that we should be using. And we have to, I think, learn that we cannot expect everyone to want to do the things that we want to do, that are important to us, that make our soul happy. But they have other things that they want to do that will make their souls happy. So we can't expect us all to agree on what those things will be, but what we can do as followers of Jesus Christ is respect that about every one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So sometimes we're called to offer our gifts in ways that we might be a little reluctant to do so because it's not our thing. But the beauty of it is, united together, each one of us offering different things, we can do amazing things together. Don't you think? You know why? Because you have God in you. You have love in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Share your gifts. And in doing so, you share God. And you share love throughout the world. It's in you. And it's the only way the world has ever been changed. Amen.